Good morning, all of my BSN and coffee listeners. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday morning. I know I am. I just want to know though, are you? So I hope everybody had a wonderful beginning of the week. I know it's been a rough start for some. I'm going to put myself in there because Monday was a rough start. But we are here today, Wednesday. It's almost the weekend. We are almost there. We are in the middle of it, and we're going to get through it. So I want to go ahead and get started really quickly with everybody. I first of all want to thank all of my listeners. Thank you so much for always keeping up with BSN and Coffee and your host, Alejandra. I really, really appreciate y'all from the bottom of my heart. Y'all have absolutely no idea. Secondly, I do ask that y'all continue to like and subscribe because I really, really appreciate y'all doing that. Head over to Spotify. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We are also available on Google Cast and, of course, like Castbox and Beaker, all of that. I currently do share my email address with y'all. So if you have any suggestions for the show, definitely give us, those suggestions via email or however you would please. That email address is aleagurre400@gmail.com. Don't forget that you can continue the conversation on WordPress.com by looking us up under BSN and Coffee. I will provide all of those links for you in the description of our podcast for today. So thank y'all once again so much for listening to us. I really appreciate that. Let's get started because we have updates today on the Gabby Petito case, a couple that are actually coming out here recently. And then we're going to start a second, I want to say third because we already started our second one, but this is our third one. On a recent missing person who just recently, has been unable to be located, unfortunately, with some very odd circumstances surrounding this case. Her name is Mia Mercano, and we will go into that today. She was from Orange County. We will be diving into that, and let's get started. All right, so let's get into the Gabby Petito updates. So as of right now, today, when we're looking, unfortunately, Brian has still not been found. For those just tuning in and are unaware who Brian is, Brian Laundry is the person of interest, but also the ex-fiance of Gabby Petito, who went missing about a month ago when they were on a road trip across country and she was unfortunately nowhere to be found. However, they did find her deceased in their very last spot back in Jackson Hole. The cause of death has not been determined just yet. However, it was ruled a homicide. So right now, Brian is not being charged with a homicide or a murder. He basically is just being looked for because he has a warrant for his arrest, a federal warrant at that. Okay. The FBI has filed this warrant. Basically the reason why they're looking for him is because it looks like based on this warrant that he has basically cleaned out Gabby's bank account. So he had the audacity to go and clean out this bank account. Whether it have been both of their money or her money or his money, it was in her bank account. And so the legal way of looking at it is it's in her bank account with her name, her debit card, and he used quite a bit out of there, I'm going to assume, because the actual warrant says that it was over $1,000 is something that is considered federal. And so basically for this to have been federal, he probably took a good amount. But then again, it could have been $1,001, you know? So basically, they are looking for him at this moment for that exact reason. Right now, the only development that has come out has been what Dog the Bounty Hunter has basically pulled up. Whether he found this information or whether the FBI already knew it but just didn't want to say, which I highly doubt. I'm going to tell you why. For those of you that don't know who Dog the Bounty Hunter is, he used to come out on TV with his ex-wife, Beth, who is now deceased, unfortunately. But they used to come out on TV literally bounty hunting. it was them as a family with their children. They always bounty hunted. And then that's kind of what they do. You know, that's what they do for a living. And so they would go out, and he's very well known for finding. I wouldn't want to be found by him, but he's very well known for finding just about anybody. He has found some of the most wanted people that you could possibly think of that nobody else has been able to find because he's done the dirty work. Okay. The only reason that a bounty hunter is probably more prone to finding a person is because they have more time on their hands to dig, more time on their hands to look. And unfortunately, let's be honest, you guys, our FBI agents, our, you know, local police departments, they are overcrowded with cases because there's so many crimes that are committed every single day, every single second. And they just get crowded and they get crowded and things get lost and things get overlooked. Things just don't go as they plan, you know? And so a bounty hunter's job is to go and find this person and turn them into the authorities. Okay. So it's considered a citizen's arrest. Basically, he takes them and then he goes and turns them in. He gets the bounty for him. If there's a bounty out on them, he's going to get that money. So Dog the Bounty Hunter is very well known. He, of course, had showed up to their house, but as many of you know, Roberta Laundrie called the police on him. And unfortunately, at that point, there's really not much they can do. All he can do was knock on the door as long as he goes away, and that's fine. But he has said that he is going to find him regardless. And I believe him. I believe him because he has found most of the notorious people out there that are wanted that have been unable to be located. Now, as everything was coming up, we found out that between September 1st and September 3rd, Roberta Laundrie, the father, and Brian Laundrie had gone to this, I guess you could say this is like a river, because you camp out here. It's at Fort DeSoto Park. You can camp out here. You just basically, it's like a lake, I guess you could say. I live in Texas. We have many lakes here, so I'm going to assume that's what it is. You rent out like a certain spot, and that's kind of where you camp out. You know, you put your tents down or your RV, your camper, or anything that you're going to put down, and that's where you sit, right? And so basically, they had rented one lot between September 1st and September 3rd. Well, I think that those two dates were the only ones that they were unaware of if they actually had made it. According to some of their neighbors, they did not leave that day. So maybe they didn't make it out there between the 1st and the 3rd. They possibly didn't. However, what was confirmed by their lawyer, the Laundrie's lawyer, was that between September 6th and September 8th, they did just in fact go to Fort DeSoto Park as a family. So that means that all three checked in together. However, I'm going to tell y'all something. Their lawyer states that they left on the 7th and that they left as a family, all three of them. But when we went back and we received the information from Dog the Bounty Hunter, it looks like his side is saying that no, in fact, that's not how it happened. Between the 1st and the 3rd, they did go. And between the 6th and the 8th, they did also go. However, three people went in and only two people came out. Now, they've already shown the records, so we for sure know that on September 6th, it was rented. There was a certain spot that was rented under Roberta's name, which is the mother of Brian Laundrie. So we do, in fact, know that. From my understanding, there's an uncle who owns a yacht. Not only a yacht, but he basically rents these things out. So where could Brian be? Do you think that he could have easily been to Fort DeSoto Park and gotten on a yacht and then taken off from there towards Venezuela, to Cuba, anywhere? Like, he could be anywhere right now, okay? So keep in mind that a couple of weeks back, a young woman had come out and stated that he was spotted in Venezuela and that it was a very, very, very trusted source. I don't know how true that is. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that as a man who is being hunted and looked for, because not only is the FBI looking for him and all of the local police departments, but Dog the Bounty Hunter is always also looking for him. And I will tell you right now, I know that every citizen who this case has touched is also keeping an eye out for him. So I don't know how well he would do just being out and about, like nothing in the world would have happened to him. I feel like he's hiding out somewhere because he just wants things to calm down a little bit, and then he'll slowly start coming out. I do not believe he's dead. I do not. There's a feeling, there's a gut feeling. I do not believe he's dead. I feel like it's too late into this investigation to be like, there's no body. We can't prove that he's dead. I don't think he's dead. I don't think he died. I very well think he is alive. I think that he is just hiding. He's trying to hide away from this family getting their justice and from him facing what he did to Gabby. He's obviously not going to, you know, come back and be like, yep, I did it and here I am, so take me. So I think he's a very panicked young man who basically feels like he maybe made a very terrible mistake and didn't know how to fix it, because he probably snapped too soon, too fast, and it was horrible. So we know that now that Dog is behind him, he's looking for him. There's been a couple of sightings of Brian, but we don't know if they're 100%. Just because of the fact that it's hard to say, you know, because you're not really the one looking, you're not the one to see him, and there's no other proof, you know, there's no pictures or anything like that. So it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, we did see him for a fact, he is alive. I did see something today that was confirmed by the police. So they apparently did not physically see Brian Laundrie on September 11th. Now, they were asked again if they seen him September 14th, and they said no comment because they didn't want to hinder their investigation. I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I don't think they've seen him. I don't think that they've seen him since the minute that that van was confiscated from him. I don't think that they have been able to speak to him because he obviously obtained a lawyer very quickly. But I also do not believe that they have physically seen him, being the fact that he attained a lawyer so quickly that they are unable and they're not allowed to speak to him, obviously. I feel like the parents were set forward. They were obviously, I mean, they're parents. I'm going to put myself in their shoes. I've got children. Here's the thing, though. I would not hide my child behind me if they had made a terrible mistake this way. And I say that from the bottom of my heart because nobody deserves any homicide, any murder, anything at all, just in general. So I believe that the parents were kind of hiding out a little bit and saying that, you know, there was, you know, that he was present or he was there, but I doubt it. I just don't think that he's been seen since that van was taken into custody. Like, I don't think at all. So basically Lisa Chapman, which is the daughter of Dog, stated that she believes that the father is drunk dialing their tip line because every time that they call in, it sounds like the same exact voice, but they keep saying like, what would you do? What if it was your son? What if, you know, this happened to you? What would you do as a parent? And so I think that's why things are going that way. So I think that, you know, it's obviously the wrong time, and I don't know. I think that he probably is or could be calling, but right now is not the time to be playing with, you know, the bounty hunters, because they're going to probably look and analyze at every little detail of what they have available for him. So they basically say that he is calling with information, but he's obviously not being that helpful because he still hasn't given the whereabouts of his son, right? So, they did state that they had a lot more tips coming in, and they were actually more streamlined. They were verifiable and that they were solid, and that they have quite a bit of progress that has been made. I definitely think that they are going to find him. I just don't know how soon they're going to find him. They did say that within the next 72 hours they could possibly have him. I'm just going to tell you right now, that would be great because I would like to see him get caught. I think he needs to be caught. Like, the quickest, it would be the best, if that makes sense. Like, an actual reporter asked the lawyer of the Laundries, texted him and asked, can you confirm if Roberta Laundrie had a burner phone? The only thing he had to say was no comment. You know, I feel like she probably did. Come on. You think she didn't have a burner phone? Why else would he? He says that he doesn't confirm or deny it. But I don't know. I kind of feel like she did, but he can't really say she did or didn't because he also can't get her in that much trouble. And so he doesn't want to. He's obviously her lawyer. So, you know, he can't really say much. So I can see where all of the speculation of everything is coming forward. But unfortunately, everything that we have all believed that the parents have been involved just becomes like it comes to light more and more every single day that it looks and it seems more like they did help him. They did help him, and they probably very well assisted with him just to make sure that he was, you know, hiding out because they don't want to turn his son in. So the only thing we can do today is keep crossing our fingers and hoping for the best outcome, which would be to get this family justice and as soon as possible, because I think that they need to be able to peacefully lay Gabby to rest, and they need to know what really happened. They deserve to know what happened. And this is going to be the only way that they know, is if they capture the person who physically did this to Gabby and knows what exactly happened, because there's only two people and one of them is dead. So our other missing persons report that we are going to be doing today is based on the missing person by the name of Mia Marcano. So for many of those that don't know who she is or have not possibly heard, Mia Marcano is a 19-year-old female who went missing. Last place that she was seen was her apartment complex. So basically, she works there as well, and the person of interest that she was last seen with has now killed himself. So let's get into this case. Let's speak about this case. Let's get this case out there, because not only does, you know, Gabby's case deserve to be heard and solved, but so does Mia's, and so does everybody else's out there, because I don't know if y'all have noticed, but a lot of young women are going missing, found dead, are being murdered or being killed. It's insane right now at the time that we are living in. And so I feel like everybody's case deserves that attention. So while Mia's information is out there, it is obviously coming out on the news. I've seen it on a couple of local stations. I've also seen it on Facebook and Twitter as well. So I just believe that everybody deserves that same exact attention, and that we could definitely help other, you know, like us internet sleuths, we can definitely help others solve cases and try to find any way missing puzzle pieces, because things that we may not see because we are trying to focus on one certain thing, others may see. So I think it's always good to kind of have everybody's eyes on a certain case, but I think everybody deserves that same attention, because I think that we would give more closure for families that way. So Mia Marcano was born on April 26th of 2002. She is a 19-year-old black female. She does have brown hair. Her eyes are green. She's 5. On her height, I'm sorry. She's 5 feet, and she weighs about 130 pounds. Now, Mia Marcano actually worked at the Arden Villas apartment back home in Orange County. She worked there, but she also lived there. Okay, so she's been missing since September 24th. Basically looks like at approximately 5 p.m. That's when she was last seen at her apartments. However, I did look up a couple of things, and I realized that when they did her press release, they did state that she had left her job about 4:30-ish, about that time, a little bit before. And that was the last time that she was physically seen. Now, maybe around 5 o'clock, she texted somebody. She was set to go on to a flight to go back home to where she's originally from. And unfortunately she didn't get on that plane. So this is kind of how her family came about finding out that she was missing. Her family is now in Orange County trying to help and assist with this missing persons report. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something very odd that I saw today. So I actually was looking at the interview, right? I don't want to say it's odd. It's just a little weird, right? The family feels that she is alive, and that is wonderful. That is wonderful. I've never been through this personally. My children are also young, and I hope and pray that I never have to go through this, but her aunt is the one stepping up and speaking out. For what reason neither of the parents are up and speaking out is I have no idea. But I do know that the aunt is the one that is in charge of speaking out, which is great. So basically she relays this information saying that the person of interest, which is, the one who last saw her or the one that was, you know, around her the very last, his name is Armando Manuel Caballero. He was 27 years old. And I say was, and I'll explain why. I've already kind of given y'all a heads up. He did kill himself. So right before any of this happened, keep in mind, Maya lived at the same apartment complex that she worked at the Arden Villas. So the aunt has arrived to these apartment complexes while Armando is sitting outside in his car with his lights off. And she says that basically she's looking around trying to see if she can find her. And then she heads over to her apartment complex and he's kind of sitting a little bit outside of his apartment complex. Also, it has been informed that Armando did not live at this apartment complex. So what was he doing there? Okay. He did work there as a maintenance person, but it was after hours. Maybe there was an after hours call or something, but very rare do they normally even show up. So he did have a master key. And we'll talk about that shortly. However, Armando still sits in his car and goes on to ask his aunt, or her aunt, I apologize, Maya's aunt, if she's looking for Maya. And she's like standing there looking at him. She's thinking to herself, I'm sure, I don't even know who this is. I don't even know who he is, but yes, I am looking for her. And he says, okay, well, then you're looking for me. And she just says that she stands still and she's like, I don't even know who this guy is. I'm going to tell you that gave me the chills. That gave me the chills. Apparently there was a conversation though. I feel like they were told a specific piece of information that has proven to them that yes, she is alive, but he didn't want to say where and he obviously didn't tell them where. So what happened the next day was he went and he hung himself at his apartment complex in a shed. And unfortunately that was called in, but now you're sitting here with this case where you have no more leads because this is a person who was considered a person of interest in her case because he had a master key and it was found out to be that master key was used to break into Maya Marcano's apartment complex. Her actual apartment home door was, you know, opened by using the master key. So he went inside of her apartment without permission. And of course, you know that when you're in maintenance, you have a maintenance key, so you are able to go into any apartment, right? Well, the problem with that is that sometimes they're not very truthful. And in situations like as this, right, it is considered burglarization. So they put out a warrant for his arrest. That's why they were looking for him, because they had found out that he had entered her apartment shortly before that time. So if he entered her apartment shortly before that time, what could have possibly happened between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock if that was the last time she was seen, right? So he did enter around 3. There was no reports of him actually coming out yet, so there wasn't really anything, you know, seen. Her shift was set to finish around 4:30. This is what I'm going to speculate because I don't 100% know that this is true, but this is, again, my opinion and I'm just speculating here. I believe Armando waited inside of her apartment. Keep in mind, he did tell her and insinuate many, many times that he wanted to, like, obviously date her. This is a very, very beautiful young woman. Very, very beautiful. And he insinuated several times. This was relayed on to somebody who has now, you know, shown and spoken out and said, yes, that is in fact something that she did tell me, that she kept telling him and he kept insisting and she kept saying no. And he insisted. She still said no. She did attend her local college, so she was still in school. Her professor has since also spoke out in hoping that she is found safe and sound. But when you have a young woman like this, very beautiful young woman, and a gentleman, I don't even want to say gentleman, this person, I'm going to say it that way just because I'm going to be a little nice. This person who keeps insisting on wanting to go out with you, talk to you, and after you've continuously told them no, I can only imagine Maya had like a bad vibe, like a bad feeling about him. And so being that he is maintenance, I think I would be very scared. I think I definitely would have been very scared. But who knows? Maybe she didn't think for a second that he was capable of actually just showing up to her apartment like that, you know? So I believe that he did show up to her apartment around 3:30. He stayed in his in her apartment. And I feel like after her shift ended, she heads to her apartment and she opens the door to find Armando there. I'm sure she thought, hey, you need to leave, you know. I don't know what you're doing here. Why are you even here? They have now searched her apartment, so she's obviously not there. I find it so hard to believe that he didn't do something to her because, I don't know, it's just hard if you think about it. How did she leave? I know that she probably didn't leave on her own because if she obviously kept telling him no, I feel like she was forced to leave somewhere, but it's impossible for me to think that in a big apartment complex, you're not going to be able to see who it was that took her. Does that make sense? And I'm sure there's people who've said, yeah, he took her in his car or something. But if you are a bystander and you see your neighbor from apartment X taking your apartment from apartment B across the way, are you not going to stop and be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing? So I feel like it almost made it look like he probably did one of two things. Drugged her and she fell asleep. And he took her that way when nobody was watching, either whether it be in the middle of the night or whatever. Or two, he did take her at gunpoint possibly and just took her somewhere. Now, I think she is alive. I have a feeling she is alive, especially because of the hope that he has given this family to think that she is alive. However, I think it's very selfish and very shitty of a person to go and take somebody or take somebody's life and then go decide to end their life and leave this family with no justice of their own to heal, for one, to understand, or to even be able to find their family member. You know, there's so many aunts and uncles and her cousins and her family members that have now come in from out of town to make sure that they're able to help find her. There are searches going on. Her apartment complex is close to a wooded area. And so I think a lot of the speculation was also that they possibly walked out towards the back into the wooded area. Maybe she's out there and she just, I don't know, hasn't really been found or she's missing and she can't find her way back home. I'm really crossing my fingers that this has a better outcome and that she is alive. It is a very, very scary situation. I can't even imagine what she's going through, but she's a very beautiful young girl who was basically taken advantage of by an older person who just could not take no for an answer, you know? So she is still currently missing at this time. Her person of interest in her case has obviously now been considered deceased. He is nowhere to be found. I mean, she's nowhere to be found. There's just not anything else leading that to her appearance right now. Unfortunately, her family is staying inside of their cars at her apartment complex. So I don't believe that they're allowed to go into her apartment for the fact that it's probably still like an active scene. They're probably taking fingerprints and they're probably using those things as such. And so they're not allowed to. But I do know that her family members are sitting outside of the apartment complex, literally sleeping in their cars. They're not going anywhere. They've continuously said they will not be going anywhere until she is found and she goes back home with them. If you or anybody that you may know has any information, or if there's anything else that y'all need to report, there is an emergency line, which is 407-836-4357. If you or anybody who has possibly seen Maya, definitely call 911 and let them know that she is missing. She deserves to be found just like any other young woman, whether, unfortunately, it may or may not be the best outcome for this case. But I think everybody deserves that justice, and her family are more than welcome to help look for her. They are asking for volunteers. If you are able to head out there and kind of help out, they are looking into the woods. They are trying to search. And when I say that, I say this for you to keep in mind. It is insane, and it's just so crazy how being in different states of literally, like, one was in Florida and one's in Orange County. So you just kind of look at them and you're like, okay, FBI is working on one case in Florida, and you've got it may be because of all the media attention, you know, because it was just so odd. Gabby Petito circumstances. I am all for us doing and using all resources to try to locate any missing person, but I think everybody deserves that. I think everybody absolutely deserves to be looked for, just like everybody was looking for Gabby. I believe everybody does. I believe everybody deserves to be looked for, just like Brian is being looked for, because at the end of the day, you citizens, me as a citizen, we pay these taxes so that they have these resources also, so that they continue to be able to do this. I would much rather gladly keep paying my taxes to anybody who's willing to go and find anybody, or use those resources anyway to try to find somebody. And I'm sure everybody else can agree. But I definitely think that we need to step outside of our comfort zone, advocate for these people who are missing, and do our best and use our voice to try to make sure that we raise awareness of this person or persons that are missing, so that they receive the same exact attention, so they receive the same exact outcome, whether it be, you know, the good justice or the bad one, but it be so we give the victim's family that justice that they deserve. So that being said, that concludes today's podcast. I want to thank y'all so much for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is your host, Alejandra, and I am out.